Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for awakening us from our sleep and giving us a good night's rest. We ask that you would take control of this presentation this morning, that you would tie it together with the previous and prepare the way for the studies that are coming. We want to understand where Sister White stood upon the truths that are represented on the 1843 chart. We ask that you would allow us to see these things correctly. We ask that you would grant us the presence of the Holy Spirit in each of us that are involved with this, and myself in my presentation. I ask that you to overrule my words, my thoughts, and purify them with the coal from off the altar that they might accomplish the work that you design. And I ask that you would also allow your Holy Spirit to prepare my brothers and sisters to understand these things correctly. We thank you that we have such easy times to share these things. We know these times are soon going to be over. We ask that you'd bless what we're doing here, that it might move this work a little bit further up the path towards the glorious earth made new. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for me, it's pretty difficult to get through 8 pages of notes in an hour presentation, roughly. And if you'll notice, we have 20 pages. So I'm just letting you know that I don't intend to read these notes. I intend to put some of these passages in here for those that are watching on live stream that can download the notes, and for those that ultimately watch this on DVD, that they have this in the record for themselves if they don't already have these articles available to them. What we're dealing with is the Habakkuk's two tables, and at this point all we're doing is trying to demonstrate that Ellen White was in agreement with the truths represented on this chart. The first three presentations we concluded yesterday was showing that Ellen White clearly and specifically endorses the 2520 time prophecy as valid in early writings, page 236. When speaking of the first disappointment in March of 1844, she says that after the disappointment, the Millerites continued to study the Bible, and they discovered that the same evidence that had led them to predict 1843 for the 2520, the 2300, and the 1335, that same evidence was then recognized in 1844 to prove that these prophetic periods ended in 1844. And we discussed how the only prophetic periods that she could be speaking of are these two, not the 1335. It started in the 80 time period. It ended in 1843. And therefore, she's putting her endorsement upon the understanding of the 2520 and the 2300 year prophecy. And then she went on further to say that during that time period, as they began to prove that these time prophecies ended in 1844, this is what caused the persecution that drove the Millerites out of the church. So it isn't a coincidence that here at the end of the world, men and women are being persecuted in the Adventist church for presenting the information of why the 2520 ended in 1844. So now we're moving to another subject, this one right here, the daily. You'll find that if you haven't looked at these charts are structured. Sister White says of this chart that I saw that the Lord directed in this chart, and she says of this chart that God was in the publishment of this chart. So she has told us that God was involved with the production of both these charts, and how they're structured graphically was purposeful, humanly purposeful. The Millerites did it on purpose, but it was by God's design. Up here, 677, down to what they believed, 1843. This is the column that's identifying the 2520 that begins in 677, and they thought ended in 1843, and they retained this graphic illustration on this chart. Up here, 677, here, 1844. This is the column of the 2520 that exists on both charts. And right in the middle of the column is the cross in both instances. And right below the cross is the reference to the daily. And the daily, the symbol of the daily paganism, the root of the pagan religion is self-exaltation. And this is where you can see the Lord's hand in it, not necessarily the human hand. On both these charts, in order for you and I or anyone to have our self-exaltation removed from us, we must come to the foot of the cross. On both these charts, that lesson is illustrated. And of course, when we talk about the column of the 25-20 with the cross being in the middle, we know that in fulfillment of Daniel 9, when Christ came to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that 1 week equates to 2,520 days. And in the midst of that week, he was crucified. So in these columns, we see in the middle of these columns, the cross. These are inferring the 2,520 days that Christ confirmed the covenant with many. So now we're going to take up the daily and Ellen White's endorsement of it. A few things that we're going to show is in page one of your notes, we have a passage from early writings, page 74. We have dealt with this before. Many of these things that we will be dealing with in this presentation we have dealt with before. But most of us do not understand that this passage in early writings went through an evolution. It, as it exists in early, in the book Early Writings, men will use what is in early writings to misrepresent the truth. But if you go back to the original source documents, the logic for their misrepresenting the truth is removed. So there's much that can be said about this. I'm only going to identify a couple points because we're dealing with the daily here. But in this passage from early writings, I would have you take note of the very first two thoughts, September 23rd. Okay, September 23rd, if you're not familiar with it, you can put 1850 there. Okay, September 23rd, 1850. This has an impact on correctly understanding the daily. And then in the second paragraph, the end of the first paragraph is where the statement we've dealt with already here for the past few days. I've seen that the 1843 chart was directed by the hand of the Lord and that it should not be altered, that the figures were as he wanted them, that his hand was over and hid a mistake in some of the figures so that none could see it until his hand was removed. The second paragraph says, then I saw in relation to the daily, Daniel 8:12. Now, I want you to just put in your memory bank, we will deal with this no doubt later, Lord willing. When the daily is represented on this chart right here, it says taking away of the daily, it says Daniel 12, 11, and 12. On this chart, when it's dealing with the daily, it says pagan dominion or the daily taken away, Daniel 11, 31. Okay, so on these two charts, the emphasis that they're identifying from both Daniel 11, 31 and Daniel 12, 11 is the taking away of the daily. All right, and in Daniel 11, 31 and Daniel 12, 11, the Hebrew word that is translated as take away is sur, and it means to take away, it means to remove. But in Daniel 8, in verse 11, where it says the daily is taken away, it's a different Hebrew word. It's room, and it means to lift up and exalt. So William Miller used a Cruden's Concordance. And the Cruden's Concordance doesn't give you any insight on the Hebrew or the Greek. So the Lord was directing the Millerites because of the three places where the daily is referenced in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 11, and Daniel chapter 12. Chapter 11 and 12, the Hebrew word that's translated take away means take away. And that's what they're emphasizing on these charts is when paganism was taken away, the 1290 and the 1335 time prophecy would begin. But in Daniel 8, when the daily's taken away, it isn't talking about being removed. It's talking about the religion of paganism being lifted up and exalted. So the Millerites got it right. They referenced the two chapters in Daniel that are about the daily being taken away. But here in early writings, and as we go back through the original source documents, you're going to see in this chapter that originally, this reference, Daniel 8:12, isn't there. I don't know if Ellen White told them to include that in there in 1882 when they printed early writings, or if one of the editors put it in. I'm not threatened by it, because it's not talking about the taking away here. It says in verse 2, it says, "Then I saw in relation to the daily," Daniel 8:12, "that the word sacrifice was supplied by man's wisdom and does not belong to the text, that the Lord gave the correct view of it to those who gave the judgment hour cry." Now, we had a meeting with some of the prominent pastors in Germany and some of the seminary teachers from Germany several years ago in Germany, where I presented, and they threw their stones at this message. And there was a pastor that was there from Italy, and he expressed one of the foolish arguments about this verse. What he said was, and in this foolish argument, there's several foolish arguments about the daily, so you find this foolish argument used often. We'll put it in the record here. It says, "Then I saw in relation to the daily that the word sacrifice was supplied by man's wisdom and does not belong to the text, and that the Lord gave the correct view of it to those who gave the judgment hour cry." Here's the foolish argument. They say Ellen White is not endorsing the daily here. She's endorsing the pioneer understanding that the word sacrifice was added by human wisdom and does not belong to the text. Okay, so this Italian pastor's making this argument, and I says, "Well, explain the next sentence to me then, pastor." The next sentence says, "When union existed before 1844, nearly all were united on the correct view of the daily." This is not about the correct view of the word sacrifice being added by human wisdom. Ellen White here, and this is a hard one. This is a hard one for these people that are refusing to hear and refusing to see in Adventism today. This paragraph, there's probably more theologians that have lost their salvation over this paragraph than any other paragraph in the Spirit of Prophecy. And I'm not just exaggerating. I think that's probably accurate. Okay, in the early part of the 20th century, when the false view of the daily is being introduced into Adventism, everyone that was fighting about it on both sides of the issue knew they were fighting about this paragraph. When Stephen Haskell came to the defense of the pioneer view that the daily was paganism, what did he do? He reprinted this chart and he put this paragraph on the bottom. Okay, so this paragraph is the focus of controversy, and it's here where many, many men have fallen on their swords and died. So at a minimum level, what I want you to see here, because you have men like recently, Steve Wolberg of White Horse Ministries, he's been opposing this message, and one of his arguments is, "Well, Ellen White never had a position on the daily, so I don't have to have one." Okay, this was just an absolutely foolish position. But even if we'd grant him the possibility that Ellen White didn't have a position on it, what does she say in this quote? She says that the pioneers had the correct view of it. Even if she didn't know what it was, here she is saying that there is a correct view, which means there's a wrong view, maybe several wrong views. Okay, you have men like Vance Farrell. People have confidence in Vance Farrell's prophetic interpretation, and I don't know why. Vance Farrell is one of the men, he's not the only one, but he's one of the men that says the daily represents both paganism and Christ Sanctuary Ministry. Okay, this symbol, he says, represents Satan and Christ. What kind of discernment is being employed with that kind of reasoning? Okay, Sister White, no matter what the daily represents here, she says there's a correct view, so we can at least agree with that premise here, right? Okay, then I saw in relation to the daily that the word sacrifice was supplied by man's wisdom and does not belong to the text, and that the Lord gave the correct view of it to those who gave the judgment hour cry. When union existed before 1844, nearly all were united on the correct view of the daily, but in the confusion since 1844, other views have been embraced. Other views of what? This is what I told this Italian pastor. I says, okay, can you give me any historical references where after 1844, there were other views about the word sacrifice that have been embraced? And he kind of backed out of that at this point. Since 1844, other views of the daily have been embraced. And what do they produce? Darkness and confusion. Underline darkness and confusion, because when Sister White further talks about the daily, she talks about darkness and confusion. Okay? And we're going to show you some of those this morning. Take the wrong view of the daily, it produces darkness and confusion. Now, it says time has not been a test since 1844, and it will never again be a test. So in connection with the daily, you see, or here's the argument. Here's the argument today. Here's the argument that was introduced by Ellen White's son. It was introduced by others, but he's the one that put it into the historical record of Adventism. Is that when you read this passage, the context of time setting is what you need to understand. So after she says, other views have been embraced concerning the daily, and darkness and confusion have followed. It says, time has not been a test since 1844, and it will never again be a test. The Lord has shown me that the message of the third angel must go and be proclaimed to the scattered children of the Lord, but it must not be hung up on time. Do you see why Willie White is saying that we need to see the context of time setting? Talks about the confusion the wrong views of the daily produce. Time has not been a test, and then there's a paragraph about time setting. Okay, this is what you have to understand. This paragraph about time setting, it wasn't in the original. And the statement about time has not been a test, that sentence has been altered. It misrepresents Ellen White's original thought. She did not connect anything about time setting with the daily. This is what we want to look at this morning. So, as I said, we're not going to read all these pages. I'm just going to make sure that you have them in your possession so you can test what I'm saying. Because as a human being, there's a possibility that I'm misleading you. Okay, Arthur White, the son of Willie White, in his book, in his six-volume set about the history of Ellen White, speaking of his father's position, rejecting the correct view of the daily, he says in volume 6 on page 252, he says, the advocates of the old view that the daily represented paganism maintained that the wording of the statement in early writing 74 and 75 placed heaven's endorsement on the view of the daily held by Miller, eventually repeated by Uriah Smith. If Arthur White was going to be a genuine, accurate historian, you know what he would have said there? He would have just put one word in there. But Arthur White, he missed the boat here. He would have said the advocates of the old view maintained correctly that the wording of this statement placed heaven's endorsement on the view of the daily held by Miller and eventually repeated by Uriah Smith. But he doesn't put correctly in there. He's just saying what they maintained, like there's a possibility that they were maintaining a wrong position. But there wasn't. They weren't. They had the right position. The New View advocates, his father, Willie, A.G. Daniels, W.W. Prescott. I won't go there right now. The New View advocates held that the statement must be taken in its context, the context of time setting. We just told you their argument in early writings, page 74. In early writings 74, when was it printed? 1882. The book Early Writings was printed in 1882. But where the passage in early writings that we are considering is originally found is in the Review and Herald, November 1st, 1850, and you have that in your notes, okay? And it's several paragraphs, and as I said, we're not going to read them all. We see four paragraphs on page 2, then four paragraphs on page 3, and then it concludes with three more paragraphs, which I have in a box for you, because these three paragraphs out of the article are the ones that are going to be end up in early writings. That's why these final three paragraphs have the box around them. You see them? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so if you go into these five, I'm saying three, these five final paragraphs, you will see some things that are different in the original than you'll find in early writings, page 74. I have...
So you're saying these in the box are the original?
These in the box. Those of you that are watching live stream or on DVD later, on the DVDs, we will include these notes so you can download them and look at them as they are. And if you're watching live stream, you can download the notes right now. This is the last five paragraphs in this original article, and this box is around them. These five paragraphs are what ultimately end up in early writing 74. But when was this printed? When was this written? November 1850. Okay? So I have in boldface the things that are going to be changed from these five paragraphs. There's going to be a metamorphosis, because in the very near future... let me see when. In 1851, the book Life Sketches is going to be printed, and they're going to take these paragraphs and put them in Life Sketches. And from here to Life Sketches, there's some minor editorial changes that happen to these five paragraphs. And then from Life Sketches in 1851 to early writings in 1882, there's some more editorial changes. And those editorial changes are what make early writings, page 74, convoluted. All right. So, in these five paragraphs that conclude in the original manuscript, in the first paragraph, September 23rd, the Lord showed me, that's going to be changed. In the next paragraph, the Lord showed me, then I saw, the Lord showed me, then I was pointed, I saw. These things get some minor adjustments. But what I want you to see in these, what would it be? It's 5, 4, 4. In these 13 paragraphs from the original article, she is shown 10 primary things. The reason I have, now I remember why I have these things boldface. It's not because those are going to get changed. I'm emphasizing for you, if you will see, that in these 13 paragraphs, she was shown this. She was shown this, she was shown this, she was shown this. And when she was shown one thing, after she tells us about it, then she's shown something that isn't necessarily connected to what she was just shown. I was shown this, I was shown this, I was shown this. And you can check me out, read it for yourself. But she was shown 10 primary truths in these, and I have 12 paragraphs here, but it's actually 4, 8, 13. Okay, that should be changed to 13 paragraphs. Here's what she was shown. She was shown about God's love, about offerings, about prayer for the sick, about the communion service, about the seven last plagues connected with the millennium, about new light, about the gathering after 1844, about the publishing work, about the 1843 chart, about the daily, about time as a test, and about pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And if you read it carefully, these are not, this isn't a flow of thought. This is a very, I was shown this. She records what she was shown, and then she was shown something that isn't necessarily directly connected. You have to see that, because as they begin to pull these paragraphs together, they begin to create the thought that she's saying something that she really didn't say. Okay, notice in the, from what, the paragraph on the bottom of your page, which is the first of these five paragraphs that we're dealing with from November 1850, that the last sentence from that paragraph says, it is as necessary that the truth should be published in a paper as preached. Okay, this thought is going to be dropped. Okay, that second paragraph of the five that we're considering with. I'm on page 5 of your notes now, where it says, the Lord showed me.
That's page 4, Jim.
I'm on page 5 of your notes now, where it says, the Lord showed me. You see, I have it underlined. The reason I have anything underlined in these four paragraphs at the top of the page is because those are going to have editorial changes when it gets reprinted in Life Sketches in 1851. Are you following me? Okay, the Lord showed me is going to be changed. By His hand is going to be changed. No part of it should be altered is going to be changed. And then in the third paragraph on the page, it says, the Lord showed me. That's going to be changed. But also, if it's boldface, there's going to be some other types of changes. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. We're on page 5. And the second paragraph says, then I saw in relation to the daily that the word sacrifice was supplied by man's wisdom and does not belong to the text. Everyone there with me? And the next paragraph says, the Lord showed me that time has not been a test since 1844 and that time will never again be a test. What they're going to do the next year in Life Sketches, they're going to take that one sentence paragraph and they're going to combine it with the previous paragraph. They're going to turn it into one paragraph. You follow me? And they're going to change the Lord showed me to I was also shown. Okay, they're going to make those two paragraphs one paragraph, and they're going to change it to I was also shown in 1851. But when you get to early writings, you know what they do? They drop the I was also shown. Where in early writings, this one paragraph, it's going to say, when union existed before 1844, nearly all were united on the correct view of the daily, but since 1844 and the confusion, other views have been embraced and darkness and confusion has followed. They dropped the I also was shown, and the next sentence is, time has not been a test since 1844. Suddenly you don't know that this thought about time not being a test is one of the things that she was specifically shown. You believe that this is part of her light on the daily and the false view producing confusion. Okay, that's not the original. You have the original. Check it out. Okay, so underneath this, you have Life Sketches, Sketches of Christian Experience and Views of Ellen White, was printed in 1851, and you have the breakdowns of the changes that took place. And there is a very, very significant change. Ellen White had a different vision than the vision that she had that ultimately ends up in early writings. She had several visions. But she had a vision where she was told something. She was told one paragraph, and she wrote it down. And if you turn to page 6 now, you'll see this paragraph. It says, the Lord has shown me that the message of the third angel must go and be proclaimed to the scattered children of the Lord, and that it should not be hung up on time, for time will never be a test again. I saw that some were getting a false excitement arising from preaching time, that the third angel's message was stronger than time can be. I saw that this message can stand on its own foundation and that it needs not time to strengthen it, and that it will go in mighty power and do its work and will be cut short in righteousness. What's she speaking about there? That we should never connect the third angel's message with time again, right? Amen? Are you with me? Where do you find this? Where is it located? Look at your notes. It's Experience and Views, page 48. Page 48. Okay. Where do we find the passage that we're discussing that's derived from Review and Herald, November 1850? Where is that located in Experience and Views? Well, it's located, if you back up one page, it's located in Experience and Views, page 61 and 62. You have a vision in Life Sketches that's recorded on page 48. Then you have the vision that ultimately is going to end up in early writings on page 61 and 62. They are separated by 13, 14 pages, right? And what are they going to do when it comes to early writings? They're going to take this paragraph from page 48 and they're going to insert it right after her statement that time is no longer a test. They're going to put two visions together. You know, are you following what I mean?
Yes.
Are you following what I mean? Okay. Because you're the one I'm seeing less confirmation with. Okay. So, now underneath, I'm back to page 6. Now you have early writings again. And the reason that this is bold-faced, okay, this is the paragraph here where it says, when union existed before 1844, nearly all were united on the correct view of the daily, but since the confusion since 1844, other views have been embraced and darkness and confusion have followed. Time has not been a test since 1844, never again will be a test. You need to remember that originally in her first record of this vision, she said, I was shown that time has not been a test since 1844, and it was a different paragraph. She had made sure that what she was shown about the daily was, there was a distinction between what was shown her about the daily and what was shown her about time being a test. And that the next paragraph, which is talking about not connecting time with the third angel's message, it was not in the original vision. It was on page 48 of Life Sketches, not page 61 and 62. But when you come to early writings in page in 1882, they put them together. And therefore, when you get to the 1930s and you're going off into deep darkness in Adventism, and Willie White says, when you're studying the daily, you must study it in the context of time. Sorry, Willie. Your responsibility was to be the one that gave the accurate historical record of the spirit of prophecy. You were to be the one that defended the spirit of prophecy. And in your presentation of early writings, page 74, you disregarded the original sources. And those original sources says that when you lifted the argument that the daily has to be considered in the context of time in early writing 74, that's absolutely untrue. It's untrue. Can't be sustained by the record in the spirit of prophecy. It cannot be sustained by the history of that time period. Okay, point one. Sister White says that there is a correct view of the daily in early writing 74. The primary argument that's foisted later on in history is that when you study that passage in early writing 74, you have to place it in the context of time setting. That argument is bogus. It's not valid. Okay? So now we're stuck with just the position that there is a correct view of the daily. Okay? But we're going to take up one more thought out of this paragraph. It says, September 23rd, the Lord showed me. September 23rd, when? 1850. September 23rd. 1850, the Lord showed me. What did he show her? Well, one of the things that he showed her is that since 1844, other views of the daily have been embraced. And what happened? Darkness and confusion. Okay. So on the bottom of page 6, you have a paragraph that comes from the Review and Herald of March 1850. And it's an article by David Arnold. in that article, you can see the paragraph, he teaches that the daily in the book of Daniel represents the Jewish sanctuary in Jerusalem that was removed by pagan Rome in AD 70. Then, in September of 1850, the same year, and by the way, who's the one that is the editor of the Review and Herald in 1850? His name's James White. James White, then, in September of 1850, he prints an article by Crozier, which teaches that the daily represents Christ's sanctuary ministry. Now, he doesn't teach it directly, but people take the inferences there and say that's what he's teaching. Okay, why am I saying this? I'm saying this for this reason. In September of 1850, Sister White says, since 1844, other views of the daily have been embraced and darkness and confusion have followed. These two views are not the pioneer view that the daily is paganism. Why would, and you have on page 7, you have the two paragraphs from Crozier's article where he's inferring that the daily is Christ's sanctuary ministry. Why would James White print this article if he knew better? Okay? The reason for it is the logic of James White on your notes. The first thing that was printed after the disappointment, and it's called A Word to the Little Flock, and the three people that were authors in that publication were James and Ellen White and Joseph Bates. Okay, the first thing that was printed after October 22nd, 1844, by those people that were following on the path was this article. And in this article, Sister White endorses Crozier's view. Okay, not his view of the daily, but his view of Christ moving from the holy place to the most holy place. Notice, this is Sister White. This is why James White would be willing to print Crozier's article. It says, I believe the sanctuary to be cleansed at the end of the 2300 days is the New Jerusalem temple of which Christ is a minister. This is Ellen White. The Lord showed me in vision more than 1 year ago that Brother Crozier had the true light on the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that it was his will that Brother Crozier should write out the view which he gave us in the Day Star, February 7th, 1846. I feel fully authorized by the Lord to recommend that extra to every saint. I pray that these lines may prove a blessing to you and all the dear children who may read them. So people, even to this day, some of the modern historians in Adventism say, look at there, Ellen White is giving her blanket endorsement on Crozier's article. And therefore, what Crozier said about the daily being Christ's sanctuary ministry, that has to be true. And when they say that, they're misrepresenting history, because Crozier's article had 8 sections in it. And from the very beginning, the Adventists understood that 4 of those sections were total darkness, and they have never, ever, ever been reprinted in Adventism. As an example, one of his positions in that article is that when Jesus returns, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. Okay, Adventists don't believe that. They never did. That understanding is an understanding that William Miller rejected, that actually puts William Miller in the right path for understanding truth. That teaching is one of the teachings that's directly opposite to Millerite understanding. So when Crozier comes out with this 8-part article, they know right off the bat, 4 of these sections, 4 of these parts, not reprintable. But James White prints the part where he does infer that the daily is Christ's sanctuary ministry. All right, but he's only going to reprint those 4 parts. He's not going to reprint the other 4. But in order for James White to reprint Crozier's 4 parts, he has to print it in 2 issues. He had to print it twice in September 1850. Do you follow me? There wasn't enough room in his Review and Herald in September 1850, so he printed two Review and Heralds in September 1850 so he could get all of Crozier's article on Christ moving from the holy place to the most holy place. Now, you'll notice from Gerhard Damsteed on page 7 on the bottom that he's giving historical evaluation that Adventists always knew there was parts of Crozier's articles that were incorrect and they could never be reprinted. And on the next page, you have W.A. Spicer giving testimony to the same thing. They always knew that Crozier's articles had error in them, and they never reprinted those four sections. The point is those people today that take Sister White's endorsement of Crozier's article in the Word to the Little Flock, people like Heidi Hikes, okay, Heidi Hikes with his foolish book about the daily being Christ Sanctuary Ministry, this is one of his arguments. People that do this are disregarding the historical facts. They never could reprint all of Crozier's articles. And to insist that Ellen White's endorsement in Word to Little Flock is a blanket endorsement of Crozier's position is to insist that Adventists believe that there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. It's a foolish argument. And it's a misrepresentation of history, and it's done to deceive people and to produce confusion and darkness. Okay, so you have two historians, Spicer, who's deceased, Damsteed, who's still alive, but I guarantee Spicer or Damsteed, neither one of them would agree with me with what I present. Okay, they wouldn't. So you have two antagonistic historians that are in agreement with what I'm telling you. There's no justification whatsoever for taking Ellen White's endorsement of Crozier's article to mean that everything in it was perfect. Okay, this... When James White began to print Crozier's article in September of 1850, that was, of the Review and Herald, that was volume 1, number 3. But he couldn't get it all in volume 1, number 3. So he finished off the article in volume 1 of the Review and Herald, number 4. And when did he do this? When did he do this? In September of 1850. Whoa. What happened in September of 1850? She had a vision that says, I have been shown that since 1844, other views of the daily have been embraced and darkness and confusion has followed. Who was her husband? He was the editor of the Review and Herald. So, what did he do when his wife said, you know what I just was told of the Lord, James? I was told that we're not supposed to be introducing the views of the daily that contradict the pioneer understanding that the daily is paganism because it's bringing darkness and confusion. So what did James White do? In September of 1850, he printed another Review and Herald, 3 in 1 month. It's called Volume 1, the Special Edition. And what did he do? He reprinted Crozier's article and removed what Crozier said about the daily. Brothers and sisters, this is historical proof that James and Ellen White understood that Crozier's view about the daily was wrong and that it brought darkness and confusion. And what was Crozier's view about the daily? That it was Christ's sanctuary ministry. So in Early Writing 74, when she says, September 23rd, their Lord showed me that the Millerites had the correct view of the daily. The historical evidence is that the Millerites understood, brothers and sisters, don't miss this fact. What is this? 1850. What year is this taking place? The same year this chart is produced. And what does this chart say about the daily? Pagan dominion or the daily taken away. 508. Ellen White knew what those that gave the judgment hour cries position of the daily was. When she says they had the correct view, she knew that the correct view was that it represented the daily, the pagan dominion being taken away. The daily represented paganism. And in this year, the historical record proves that she rejected and her husband rejected the teaching that the daily represents Christ's sanctuary ministry, which is the teaching that the Biblical Research Institute of the Seventh-day Adventist Church upholds. It's the teaching that the self-supporting ministries such as Heartland and Steps to Life support. And it's a teaching that brings darkness and confusion. Now notice this concerning the 1850 chart. This is in November of 1850. This is the same month that she has the vision that she records that ultimately goes through the evolution in 1851 and then in 1882 and ends up in early writings. In this very month, in November of 1850, it says, Monday we return to Dorchester. I'm on page 8. Monday we returned to Dorchester where our dear brother Nichols and family lived. Right up here. Published by Otis Nichols, Dorchester, Massachusetts. Okay? This is talking about this, right? You see it? This chart. There in the night, God gave me a very interesting vision, the most of which you will see in the paper. God shewed me the necessity of getting out a chart. I saw it was needed and that the truth made plain upon tables would affect much and would cause souls to come to the knowledge of the truth. She had a vision at Nichols' house in Dorchester, that's all on this chart, saying you need to make a chart. And what does she say about the chart? How does she describe it? Go to Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2. I saw the need of getting out a chart. Right? And what would it do? It was needed, and that the truth made plain upon tables. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables. She's saying that this Otis Nichols 1850 chart printed in Dorchester, Massachusetts, is a fulfillment of Habakkuk. Just like she says in Great Controversy that the 1843 chart is a fulfillment of Habakkuk. Okay, do you see that? Do you see when she got this vision? In the same time this was going on, September 23rd, the Lord showed me that the teaching, the daily is Christ's sanctuary ministry, brings darkness and confusion. And her husband immediately reprinted the article and removed those two paragraphs. It was never reprinted again in Adventism until 1931 when Willie White reprinted it. And when he did so, he had some false witness in the very tract that he printed. It can be demonstrated. Now I want to read something here to you. A longer quote about this same time period. This is from November 27th, 1850. I have neglected writing you for some time. I will now give my reasons. First, I had no time to write for weeks after I received Sister Arabella's kind and welcome letter, or I should have complied with her request to have answered it within 2 weeks. I liked the letter very much. We all were interested in the letter and hope my delay will not prevent you from answering this as soon as you read it. and I will not wait so long next time. James, and my health is quite good now. Our home is in Paris at Brother Andrew's, within a few steps of the post office and printing office. We shall stay here some little time. This is a very kind family, yet quite poor. Everything here is free as far as they have. We do not think it right to be any expense to them while here. I want to see you all very much, and dear Sister Gorham. Our conference at Topsham was one of deep interest. 28 were present. All took part in the meeting. Sunday, the power of God came upon us like a mighty rushing wind. All arose upon their feet and praised God with a loud voice. It was something as it was when the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. The voice of weeping could not be told from the voice of shouting. It was a triumphant time. All were strengthened and refreshed. I never witnessed such a powerful time before. Our next conference was in Fairhaven. Brother Bates and wife were present. It was quite a good meeting. On our return to Brother Nichols, the Lord gave me a vision and showed me that the truth must be made plain upon tables, and it would cause many to decide for the truth by the three angels' messages, with the two former being made plain upon tables. That's right down here. Okay, they're on this chart. That's what she's talking about. Continuing on. I also saw the necessity for the paper to be published, as for the messengers to go, for the messengers need a paper to carry with them containing present truth to put in the hands of those that hear, and then the truth would not fade from the mind, and the paper would go where the messengers could not go. Other things I saw which will appear in the paper. How do you get along? Are you all striving for eternal life? I want to see you very, very much and think I shall before long. Now is the preparation time, and I hope we shall all make sure work for eternity. Time looks very short, and what we do, we must do quickly. November 20th, 1 week ago, Brother Henry Nichols himself went to Topsham. We had just risen from the dinner table Thursday, November 21st, when one of Brother Foye's children came in and said their mother was insensible. We hastened over the river 1 mile and found our dear sister Foye dying. My distress was great as I found she did not know me. She continued long in great distress until between 3 and 4 o'clock and then breathed her last. She has left her husband and 3 children to mourn the loss. Friday morning, Brother Henry came to Paris for James to shave him to attend the funeral. We had a very long, very solemn, interesting time. The Lord did not leave us, but His Spirit rested upon us. Sister Foye's last days were decidedly her most spiritual and best days. Brother Foye has this to console him, that she died a Christian. He bears up well. God gives him grace to endure the affliction. Oh, how good it is to have hope in God that will sustain in all scenes of trial and affliction. Praise God for hope, a good hope. What would you, any of you, give for your hope? Hold fast the faith, be strong in God, and lean upon His everlasting arm. It will never fail you, but will bear you up under every affliction. I hope you will all grow stronger and stronger in the truth. Do not falter, but press your way to the kingdom. Here we go. Here's what I want you to see. 1 week ago, last Sabbath, we had a very interesting meeting. Brother Hewitt from Dead River was there. He came with the message to the effect that the destruction of the wicked and the sleep of the dead was an abomination within a shut door that a woman, Jezebel, a prophetess, had brought in, and he believed that I was that woman, Jezebel. Okay, Brother Hewitt is saying that Ellen White's Jezebel, and she's introduced 3 heirs. Okay, it had but little effect. We told him of some of his errors in the past, that the 1335 days were ended, and numerous errors of his. It had but little effect. His darkness was felt upon the meeting, and it dragged. Now, I want you to see this. I have some things to say about this paragraph I want you to follow if you can. If you've ever dealt with those in Adventism that reapply the time period prophecies at the end of the world, they only have 3 quotes that they use. They use lots of quotes, but they have 3 primary quotes that they use. This is one of them. Okay? Because they'll go there and they'll say, we told him of some of his errors in the past, and they will claim that when she says that the 1335 days were ended, that was one of his errors. You see how you can kind of twist that grammar a little bit? We told him of some of his errors in the past. We also told him that the 1335 days were ended, but the time setters, say, we told him of some of his errors in the past, and one of those errors was that you're teaching that the 1335 days has ended, and that's an error. So you can twist it either way. You know, the first time I had a face-to-face confrontation with Eugene Pruitt was in Oklahoma. And he's arguing that the Millerite history doesn't repeat at the end of the world, and I give him a couple quotes in the Spirit of Prophecy. And he goes, Jeff, you know that Ellen White was a careless writer. And I says, what do you mean? And he went to this quote. He says, this quote proves she's a careless writer. Because she knows that I know that the time setters can twist this quote if they wish to. Okay. Now the fact that it's a place like Ouachita has the influence that teaches its students that Ellen White is a careless writer is one thing. But is she a careless writer here? No, she isn't. Because, brothers and sisters, what's the historical context of this? Where is she writing this at? Well, she's writing it in 1850 in Brother Nichols' house. Okay? In this time period, what is the Lord doing? He's showing that the pioneers have the correct view of the daily. And she's dealing with that. She's saying that Christ's sanctuary ministry is the false view of the daily. And she's in this history, this very history, not just this very history, the very year, and not just the very year, the very month of the year, she's getting visions and she's clarifying this truth about the pioneer position of the daily, saying that those that gave the judgment hour cry had the correct view of the daily. And in the same paragraph, she says that the Lord, I saw that the 1843 chart was directed by the hand of the Lord and it should not be altered, and that those that gave the judgment hour cry had the correct view of the daily. And what does it say about the daily on this chart? Well, it says that it was taken away in 508 and that 1335 years later brings you to 1843, and that the 1335 is in the past. Can you imagine that in the very month, in the very year, that she would tell Brother Hewitt from Dead River that it was still future? Okay, these time setters. And these people that believe that Sister White's a careless writer. Okay. The history doesn't uphold it. So I want you to see that in connection with the daily, Ellen White even understood the 1335. Okay, Ellen White just didn't put her seal of approval on the daily being paganism. She understood that it started the 1335-year prophecy, which ended in 1843, and she defended that position in public against Brother Hewitt from Dead River. You see that? In the same month where she's saying that Christ's sanctuary ministry is the daily, only brings darkness and confusion, and her husband, in response to that vision, removes that teaching from the Review and Herald. Okay, on page 10, you have up here where it says 1850 chart. This is what it says right here. I want you to be able to have it in your notes. 10 horns arose, 490. Pagan dominion or the daily taken away, 508. Papacy set up, 538. And then on the 1843 chart over here, taking away of the daily sacrifice, Daniel 12, 11 and 12. Okay, these are these two charts. Sister White understood that these men had the correct view, and she understood that it initiated the 1335-year prophecy that ended in 1843. And she understood that it represented the pagan dominion being taken away in 508. Okay. Now, we're not going to read this next passage here. Before we get to this next passage, under these two references to the chart, you have another quote in the time period of Brother Nichols, and she's rebuking people for making other charts because their artwork is satanic, whereas she says the artwork upon this chart, these two charts, is heavenly. Okay. She says, I saw that the chart-making business was all wrong. It originated with Brother Rhodes, and was followed by out by Brother Case. Means have been spent in making charts and forming uncouth, disgusting images that represent angels and the glorious Jesus. Such things I saw were displeasing to God. I saw that God was in the publishment of the chart by Brother Nichols. Who was in the publishment of this chart? God. I saw that there was what? A prophecy of this chart in the Bible. And if this chart is designed for God's people, if it is sufficient for one, it is for another. And if one needed a new chart painted on a larger scale, all need it just as much. I saw that it was a restless, uneasy, unsatisfied, ungrateful feeling in Brother Case that desired another chart. I saw that these painted charts had a bad effect on the congregation. It caused a light, chaffy spirit of ridicule to be in the meeting. I saw, now this is the one I want you to think through. I saw that the charts ordered by God struck the mind favorably, even without an explanation. I saw that the charts, plural, ordered by God. What charts in the plural were ordered by God? These two charts were ordered by God. These two charts are fulfillment of Habakkuk 2. Okay? Now, underneath this, I have an article from the Review and Herald from 1858. The reason I have it in there is because you can see that in 1858, they're still teaching that the daily is paganism. You have it in your reference. 8 years after 1850, they still understand the daily is paganism. Okay, now if you go to page 16 of your notes, you have Manuscript Releases, Volume 20. Now, recently Steve Wolberg was saying that he doesn't have to take a position on the daily because Ellen White never had a position on the daily. And if it's good enough for the prophetess to take that position, it's good enough for him. Well, Ellen White did have a position on the daily. She said the Millerites had the correct view of it, and she understood it was paganism. And she understood that when paganism was taken away, the 1335 began. And she understood that other views than that only produced darkness and confusion. And the one that you can demonstrate from the history of 1850 that was really isolated as bringing darkness and confusion is Crozier's view that the daily represented Christ's sanctuary ministry. So I think she had an understanding what the daily was, not only what it was, but what it represented. Because if you left that position, you go into darkness and confusion. But in 1910, Ellen White also rebuked the General Conference President and W.W. Prescott for pushing this same view as Crozier. Okay? And no historian is going to argue that Prescott and Willie White and A.G. Daniels, that when they were pushing the daily, they were pushing the idea that the daily represented Christ's sanctuary ministry. Everyone knows that. But this, you got the entire article here from Manuscript Releases, Volume 20. When was this released? Well, it was released in 1988. Okay, so it's available for students of Adventism to consider in 1988. When did Willie White and Prescott and Daniels establish the false view of the daily in Adventism? From 1919 to 1931 is when they accomplished their work. By 1931, forget about it. Adventism's going to teach that the daily represents Christ's sanctuary ministry because they've accepted the interpretation of the scriptures that comes from apostate Protestantism and Catholicism. And from this point on, the daily is identified as Christ's sanctuary ministry. Ah, there's some voices that are opposing this that know better. But the tide has totally turned from that point on. And then in 1988, the Ellen White Estate releases for us this statement from 1910, at the very time the daily was being agitated by Prescott and Daniels and Willie White. Won't read it all. We'll read some of it. First paragraph. This is 1910. At this stage of our experience, we are not to have our minds drawn away from the special light given us to consider at the important gathering of our conference. And there was Brother Daniels, whose mind the enemy was working. What does that mean? What does it mean that the enemy is working your mind? It means the Holy Spirit isn't working your mind. And your mind and Elder Prescott's mind were being worked by the angels that were expelled from heaven. Whoa. Satan's work was to divert your minds that jots and tittles should be brought in which the Lord did not inspire you to bring in. They were not essential. But this meant much to the cause of truth and the ideas of your minds, if you could be drawn away to jots and tittles, is a work of Satan's devising. To correct little things in the books written, you suppose, would be doing a great work, but I am charged, silence is eloquence. They wanted to go into Uriah Smith's book, Thoughts on Daniel and Revelation, and remove what he said about the daily being paganism. That's why in this time period, one of the men that's fighting against Willie White and Prescott and Daniels is a man named Larry Smith. Who's Larry Smith? That's Uriah's son. And he knows what they want to do, and he's standing with his dad. The daily's paganism. Okay. I'm to say stop picking your flaws. If this purpose of the devil could be carried out, then it appears to you that your work would be considered as most wonderful in conception. It was the enemy's plan to get all the supposed objectionable features where all classes of mind did not agree. And what then? The very work that pleases the devil would come to pass. There would be a representation given to outsiders, not of our faith, just what would suit them, that would develop traits of character which would do what? Cause great confusion. Other views of the daily have been adopted that bring confusion and darkness. Bottom of the paragraph, this is the very thing that Satan has planned should take place, anything that could be magnified as a disagreement. Read Ezekiel chapter 28. Lord willing, when we begin to prove these doctrines from our Bible study, we will look at Ezekiel 28. Because Ezekiel 28 is where the very root of the daily is identified. Ezekiel 28 is about the exaltation of Lucifer. And she's marking it. Because they weren't, as they're trying to say that the daily represents Christ's sanctuary ministry, not only were they rejecting the true view of the daily, a symbol of self-exaltation, they were manifesting that very self-exaltation in their own experience. And she says, she emphasizes it would bring confusion into our ranks. Page 17 of your notes. And I was shown. What does it mean that she was shown? God specifically told her this. I was shown from the first that the Lord had given neither elders Daniel nor Prescott the burden of this work. Should Satan's wiles be brought in? Should this daily be such a great matter as to be brought in to confuse minds and hinder the advancement of the work at this important period of time? It should not, whatever may be, this subject should not be introduced. Sister White understood the daily. And she understood that teaching the daily was Christ's sanctuary ministry is something that came from angels, that it were expelled from heaven, and it only brings confusion and darkness. And she knew that the pioneer position that the daily represented paganism, and that when the daily was taken away, the 1335 year time prophecy began. She knew that. She knew the difference, no matter what these guys want to say. There's more to pull out of here, but we'll just go to the last paragraph. Yes, it would, but while their minds were thus absorbed, I was shown that Brother Daniels and Brother Prescott were weaving into their experience sentiments of a spiritualistic appearance and drawing our people to beautiful sentiments that would deceive, if possible, the very elect. If the very elect, those that of the very elect are not going to get deceived, but there's going to be people that are standing with the very elect that are going to get deceived. The very elect are the wise virgins. The foolish virgins are going to get deceived, right? And as the wise virgins in this time period, when the temptation is there to deceive the very elect, as the wise virgins are receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what are the foolish virgins receiving? The strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians. We'll deal with that too in connection with the daily. Weaving into their experience sentiments of a spiritualistic appearance and drawing our people to beautiful sentiments that would deceive, if possible, the very elect. What's the very bottom line of spiritualism? When it comes to the story of King Saul, what did Samuel say? Rebellion is as a what? It's witchcraft. Rebellion is witchcraft. Is witchcraft spiritualism?
Yes.
Where does Saul end up?
Witch of Endor.
What was it that King Saul did to produce this train of events that leads him to the Witch of Endor? He set his word above God's word. He'd been told what to do, but he went ahead and he did what he wanted to do. The very bottom line of spiritualism is placing your word above God's word. That's where it all starts. That's witchcraft. Witchcraft is identifying how Satan brings you under his influence, how he entrances you, right? It's a magical, it's a term dealing with magical deception. When you are bewitched, yes. When you are bewitched, who's the first to become bewitched? The witch. It all starts when I place my word above God's word. That's witchcraft. That's rebellion. And I'm the one that's become bewitched. And that's what had happened to Daniels and Prescott. And what sentiments were they trying to bring in when this was happening? A wrong view of the daily. And what's the true view of the daily? Is that it's paganism. And paganism is the religion of self-exaltation. It's a religion that began in the courts of heaven when Satan said his word above God's word and introduced into the history of mankind the mystery of iniquity. All right, the mystery of iniquity is Satan's work in bewitching us. It's Satan's work in getting us to place our word or his word above God's word. Do you follow my thought?
Yes.
Look up iniquity. It'll define iniquity in Strong's Concordance. And when you take it down to the root word, what's the root word for iniquity? Alpha. Alpha. That's the alpha apostasy. When were Daniels and Prescott pushing this foolish rule? Foolish view in the time period of the alpha apostasy. So don't miss what Sister White's saying here about deceiving the very elect and about reading Ezekiel 28. She knew what was going on. She knew that this daily thing is something that not only is wrong doctrinally, but it requires those that are going to preach the wrong view of the daily to place their word above God's word and puts them in the position where they're bewitched and therefore they're a tool in the hand of Satan to bewitch others with their rebellion. I have to trace with my pen the fact that these brethren would see defects in their delusive ideas that would place truth in an uncertainty, and yet they would stand out as if they had great discernment. Spiritual discernment. Now I am to tell them that when I was shown this matter, people say, oh, well, Ellen White, she doesn't have a position on the daily. When I was shown this matter, when Elder Daniels was lifting up his voice like a trumpet in advocating his ideas of the daily, the after results were presented. Our people were becoming confused. I saw the result. And there were given me cautions that if Elder Daniels, without respect to the outcome, should thus be impressed and let himself believe he was under the inspiration of God. This is spiritualism. He's placed his word above God's word. He's believing he's being inspired by God. That if Elder Daniels, without respect to the outcome, should thus be impressed and let himself believe he was under the inspiration of God, skepticism would be sown among our ranks everywhere, and we should be where Satan would carry his messages. Said unbelief and skepticism would be sown in human minds, and strange crops of evil would take the place of truth. The strange crops of evil are growing all over Adventism today. Ellen White places her endorsement on the pioneer understanding of the 2520. Ellen White places her endorsement on the pioneer understanding that the daily in the book of Daniel represents paganism. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do not want to be those among your people here at the end of the world that are feeding from these strange crops that have been spawned by the introduction of the false view of the daily in the early part of the 20th century. We want not the confusion and darkness that it produces, not only in your church, but in church members. We want to understand the truth of the daily, that we can be led to the foot of the cross, as is illustrated on both charts, that the self-exaltation, the paganism that's represented by that symbol might be removed from us as individuals, that at the foot of the cross we can be cleansed and purified and receive the blessing that's promised at the end of that prophecy that starts when self-exaltation is removed, the blessing of the experience of the outpouring of the Spirit. We ask that you'd make that happen in each of our lives. Ask a blessing upon the work that we're doing here. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.